Thanks for listening to the best of The Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
You heard something this week that put joy in your heart.
Oh, don't. Come on, man.
You heard something this week that made you feel like you have been ahead of the curve.
You mean like I felt like having a pack of cigarettes or something?
Yes,
like I was
exactly,
so euphoric?
Exactly. No question.
Oh.
And this is what it was from none other than Hall of Famer Warren Moon.
This was to Bleacher Report. He says, quote, "The numbers are starting to show about Tom Brady. There's a deterioration coming."
Look at that. Warren Moon calling it like he sees it. I love guys who are honest in this business. I love it.
I do, too. And I give Warren Moon all the credit in the world.
Because he could just be politically correct and just be like, Tom Brady's a great quarterback, and I'd still put him on my team no matter what. He's just telling people what people might not want to hear, but – we all know. What do we always say, Chris? Father Time is undefeated. Well, it's nothing against Tom Brady.
That's my thing is I don't think this is some – with all due respect to Warren Moon, I don't think this is a huge revelation.
I've been saying it all year.
Well, but here's my point. He's 41. Is he what he was 2, 3, 5 years ago? No.
How about 6 months
ago? But he's still a very good quarterback, and his team is 9-4.
Yeah, but that's
They still have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
They don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl, if you're honest. No, they don't.
Who's the world beater in the AFC?
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. Who is it?
But I'm going to tell you, that team is not the same team, A, on the road, which is probably where they got to go to, Chris.
Their defense is not good. I didn't say
and
they
Tom Brady's not the same guy.
Whose defense is good?
I'm just telling you.
You believe
no,
in the Steelers?
I told you that, but I'm telling you their defense. Tom can't
their
cover up that
no
defense because Tom's not that good.
Their defense is no worse than most
their,
of these contenders.
Their defense
contenders.
Isn't good.
There are a few teams out there that play
they're not winning the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying they're the favorite. You cannot say it. You sat here in week two and said they were done.
They're done. I told you that back in week two.
They're 9-4. They have – I would be,
did you watch the game against the Dolphins? Did you watch that game?
I watched New Orleans against Dallas, too. Does that mean I'm writing off the Saints?
You did, but the Cowboys didn't score in the second half.
So what? They won the game. You played to win the game. You played to win the game. I mean, Rob, I'm telling you, I don't care that Tom Brady is not what he was, not an MVP this year. He is still a winner. He is still a leader, and he still is an incredibly smart quarterback.
He's to win the game.
He still has that team believing in him, and he still is capable of getting this team to the Super Bowl. And there is no world beater out there. Would I pick them to be the favorites in the AFC or the Super Bowl? No. But you cannot sit here and tell me they have no chance. That's just not right.
I'm telling you they're not going to the Super Bowl. That team is not good enough. No, I'm not.
You're just picking that out just like you picked Jacksonville to win the Super Bowl.
I didn't pick them to win. I picked the Eagles to win.
Repeat. That's better.
If you're going to get my call wrong, at least get the right wrong call.
Philadelphia against Jacksonville.
Get the right wrong call. The right wrong call.
Rob, you know you cannot say
I can.
They don't have a chance. That's just not – who's the team you're so confident in?
It doesn't matter.
In the AFC?
It's about them. It's not about any other team. It's about them.
Everybody's
Tom
got
Brady
their
can't
warts.
Cover up their. No, Tom Brady's not the same guy. This is a guy who went almost two full games or three games with one touchdown. Tom Brady this year. Look at the games. He had like three games where he scored
Drew
one
Brees
touchdown.
Has been bad the last three games. Is he done now? I mean, come on, it happens.
Did Drew Brees have one touchdown in three games?
Let me tell you about Tom Brady's last game, since you wanted to bring up Miami. I mean, because you can't have it both ways.
I'm
if
just
if we're just going to look at the wins and losses, then he's spectacular. 9-4. If you want to look at stats, oh, they won, but he was bad. Okay, let me give you some stats in a loss to Miami. 27 of 43.
That's not impressive.
Really? It's 63% completion. I'll take that.
That's not what you call. People are completing passes 75%.
I'll take that.
What did he have? What's his best day?
It's 75%. No, 77%.
That's what I'm saying. 63 is that's probably one of his lowest.
It's still a good day. The reason these dudes throw 75% completions is because they're throwing little dump passes all the time.
That's what Brady throws.
No, he had 358 yards. Yeah, 358 yards.
He probably was a dump off and somebody ran 90 yards.
Three touchdowns and zero interceptions. He's thrown for over 300 yards the last 2 weeks. He's thrown for at least 250 yards in I don't know what this is. The last 10 games.
That's not impressive.
Like.
250 yards in the NFL nowadays. That's nothing.
Drew Brees hasn't hit that mark in like 7 games.
Are they
and
winning?
He hasn't hit it in the last three. Oh, but when I bring up winning, you want to point out the individual stats. I'm telling you, man, Tom Brady is still a live wire, and he's still got a chance to win.
A live wire.
He's
wow.
Rob. You don't.
Nobody else is with
don't
you.
Let, what?
Nobody else. If you were to ask people right now, do you think that the Patriots could make it? Will make it to the Super Bowl with Tom Brady? Nobody's on that bus with you.
Oh, no, you don't know. You haven't seen the bus.
877-99-05.
The bus is packed.
Nobody believes that.
I can barely get a seat on that bus.
Nobody believes
that. Because Kansas City's not a world beater. Los Angeles Chargers are not a world beater. Pittsburgh is not a world beater. Houston is not a world beater. And Deb Carson is on my bus. Deb, give Rob a little taste of something.
I am on that bus. I'll take Tom Brady at 75% over about 26 of the
Deb,
other quarterbacks.
What are you saying, Deb? Have you watched him this year?
Yes, I have. I have. But as you say about the NBA season, it doesn't start until Christmas.
Amen.
Tom Brady's season doesn't start until about week 16.
Preach!
Week 17. Rolling into the playoffs. Even if he doesn't have a bye week, I would put my money on Tom Brady and whoever's playing with him, whatever island of misfit toys are on his team this season.
I just
all
can't.
Right. Talked about, you know what he's done? You talked about a little 3-game stretch in November that didn't matter.
Oh, it didn't matter.
How about this 3-game stretch? His last three, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, averaging well over 300 yards a game. The dude, he's not done. Now, Warren Moon may be right. There may be a little deterioration.
Oh, he may be right.
But he's still good enough
to
lead them to the Super Bowl.
He's not the same quarterback that people think he is. You're living in the past.
How? He just threw for 360 yards.
That's not the same guy.
He's still the one between the ears. He's still the same guy.
Thank you, right. He's got the intangibles, man.
Brady has deteriorated. Father Time will catch up with Tom Brady. This will be the year to go on the road. And when they go on the road and they're not the home team in the playoffs, I will bet anybody who comes along that they'll lose. He's 3-4 lifetime on the road. They don't play the same. That was the good Tom Brady. And they don't win on the road.
He's still
they're not
good.
I'm talking about
that was the outstanding Tom Brady.
And they were
three and
four on the road.
He's
they're
still
not
a
the
very
same
good
team.
Tom Brady.
Well, let's see how the path sets up and where he would have to go, too. Let's wait until we get there. But I would still put my money on him. Like, at this point, I would still say, yeah, they're the favorites to go. I mean, again, the Chiefs look ridiculously good, but they've had some bumps, too. But they're still, they're still going to probably be in the AFC championship game.
I'm not even saying they're the favorite in the AFC. But when you tell me, Rob, they have no chance, that's hogwash. That's poppycock. That's googly gook.
Thank you.
You know, that's way out there. That's balderdash.
All right.
Mean, to say that they have no chance? Come on,
man. Just, when I look at that team and the things that have happened this year and what's going on with Tom Brady,
this dude's
that defense
in the Super Bowl every other year. He lives in the Super Bowl,
he
man.
Loses in the Super Bowl, too, because he's lost 3 now.
But he's won 5.
Yeah, but he's lost 3.
I'd rather be – let me ask you this, Mr. Smart Alec. Would you rather be 5-3 in the Super Bowl or 4-0?
4-0 any day.
No, not me.
I don't need to go 8 times. If you told me I was perfect and I was 4-0, I would love it. 4-0 is great.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
Yes, sir, it is Shop Talk. We do this every Thursday at this time where we take a segment to take a look around outside the world of sports because we have other interests, as you know. And this is one story that went viral this week. Irene O'Shea celebrated her 102nd birthday.
Wow,
happy birthday.
102.
Congratulations.
Decided the best way to do it was to go skydiving, becoming the oldest person ever to do so. So it had me thinking, guys, what's one thing on your bucket list that you want to do before you die?
First of all, that woman, that's incredible.
That is incredible.
And I'm actually surprised that there's not an age limit to, you know, who can skydive, but that's impressive.
And you know what was the best part about her doing that?
I'll tell you that.
Is that she already had to depend on
I was waiting to see what Alex was going to give that.
Man, you testing me.
See, a woman, she's 102 years old. It should be all love, Rob. See?
You know you laugh. Somebody was driving in their car. They laughed. They said, Rob.
Right. I'm going to say my bucket list. First of all, we're blessed in this field. I mean, I've been to the Major League Baseball
Done everything.
All-Star Game, the World Series,
yes.
NBA
Super
Finals,
Bowl.
NBA All-Star Game, Super Bowl. Like, we've been to all that. So sports stuff, we've been to pretty
we've
much
We've done
everything.
All that.
I like to travel. My wife and I, we like to travel. I've been to Africa, been to all different parts of Europe, obviously Canada. I would like to go to Asia, and I would like to go to other parts of Africa. I want to go to Ethiopia especially, and Nubia. In Ethiopia, you know, Ethiopia is the oldest Christian nation in the world. And it has over 1,500 churches that are built into rock,
wow,
like the mountains. And a lot of archaeologists say that should be the eighth wonder of the world.
Wow.
So I'd like to go see that. There's also talk that the Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia, actually. So I think I'd like to go there.
Mine is traveling as well. You know I'm a world traveler. I love to travel, see stuff. So I am going to scratch off one of my bucket lists. This coming March or April, when I go on vacation to Antarctica.
Wow.
It will make it all seven continents that
I've... Oh, you've been to all seven continents?
Yeah, that'll be my last one.
Wow.
And I'm really, really excited about it. You get to see the penguins and the whales. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you went to the other ones. You shouldn't go. But I'm this close.
No,
I really want to go.
Yeah, that's great.
To be
great.
Able to travel to all of them.
I'm impressed.
What about
now,
you? You
I'd
guys
like
quick.
That too, but I don't think Antarctica. But
you guys got something quick?
Deb, what's on your bucket list?
I think because I'm on the go constantly, I would love to go to Provence, France, or to the south of France and just stay for like 1 week in a villa with a fully stocked kitchen and maybe a few bottles of wine and just relax and write and look out at the green grass and the hills.
That's beautiful.
That's nice. Now, I'm guessing you've been somewhere where you were able to relax. Maybe not quite to that degree, but right?
Yeah.
Where you get those relaxing.
But the thing is, whenever we've had the opportunity, it's always easier to just, let's book a flight to Kauai. Let's book a flight to Maui. Let's go.
Right.
I went to Bermuda. You know, it's usually been somewhere closer than that. So I'd like to just take some time and be able to do that. So,
Rob G., what do you got?
I want to slam dunk a basketball.
Really? You've never done it?
No, like a real one.
Let me
like
tell
on
you.
A real
let
height.
Me tell you what it's like.
Yes.
I'll tell you in
oh,
the break.
Oh, look at that. Whatever.
Like.
Listen to you.
It's all right. It ain't all that.
Alex, what about you?
I want to go to a soccer game at Wembley Stadium and host a New York, like the New York party they do. Ryan Seacrest, I want to do that one year.
That's awesome.
The, the New Year's Eve party?
You mean
oh, yeah.
New Year's
I want to
Eve
count
party.
It down, yeah.
Okay.
He also said he wants to eat a Kobe beef steak one day.
I did not say that.
Right. I want to see Alex eat a steak.
That's
one thing I want to
do.
I don't even settle for a hamburger.
I want us to go to a Dodger game and then have him eat a big Dodger dog.
Oh, no.
Now, you almost made him throw up.
I'll use the restroom real quick. I'll be back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq made some comments this week. He said his famous Kobe Shaq Lakers, who won three in a row.
You mean the team that the Pistons, 2004 Pistons beat?
Yeah, because it was all that turmoil going on in L.A.
Nah, that's with no turmoil. That's not why. Would you give that team respect?
That's the worst team to win the championship in I don't know how long.
You know what? You need to stop.
I love Chauncey and all those guys. Were they not?
No, they weren't.
Who were they? What team?
That was that a great team.
Maybe the – you know what? I will give you that. I think the Dallas team that beat the Heat was worse than –
Well, that means that LeBron – that's why –
Oh, that was his worst – That
LeBron's
was his worst
career.
Time. That was his worst –
But give the 2004 Pistons. They got a five-game sweep.
I give them credit. I give them – What? It's not a sweep. It was, you think every five-game series is a sweep.
It was a five-game sweep.
I give them credit. Those guys have heart. They played together. They were a really good team.
I remember the media. You know what? When the Pistons won game one, they go – All right, okay, they got one. This is the national media in LA Staples Center. Then the Lakers won game two, and everybody's like, "All right, that's it.
Kobe
the Lakers
going that
right,
shot.
The Lakers are going to now you know run over them. This is it." Then they went to Detroit. Pistons won the next game. All right, well the Lakers will win the next game, and then they'll
we know what happened, man.
And then the Pistons won the next game.
We know what happened.
It was all over, man.
I mean, God, like that Lakers team was falling apart. Kobe
they had
and Shaq
four Hall of Famers on that team.
I know. Malone and Peyton were basically done. Peyton was having trouble. Peyton didn't like playing in the triangle that Phil Jackson
And Chauncey
had.
Roasted him in that finals.
Yeah. Chauncey, right. I love Chauncey. So
all right. Let's
more power
on.
To them.
I love them,
but anyway,
I like them.
Not that Laker team. The Laker team before in 2000, 2001, and 2002. Particularly 2001 where they went 16-1. In the playoffs,
yep.
Or was it 15-1? Whatever it was, they swept the first three rounds, 15-1. They swept the first three rounds and then beat Philadelphia 4-1
in the
finals. Because the
Warriors are the first team to do 16-1.
Yes,
because
they changed the format.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
But anyway, Shaq said that team would crush the Golden State Warriors, these Golden State Warriors of Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. And it's a tough one, Rob. It's very tough to compare eras. About a month ago, an NBA player who was a good player, not a Hall of Famer, but he played in the finals and all that a couple times and played with some Hall of Famers. He called me once a month ago and was like, it's over. I was like, what? What you talking about? It might have been 2 months, right early in the season. He said, the days of comparing eras are over. You can no longer compare today's players to when he played, which was in the 90s for the most part.
He's
like, the game has changed so much.
I hear what he's saying, but people are still going to do it.
And that's what I told him. I said, look, we're going to compare. But he was, you know.
I know what he's saying.
He was like, man, these dudes, they don't post up. They don't play
defense.
It's not physical.
Right.
They shoot a ton of threes. He was like, and you know what else he said before we get to Lakers versus Warriors? He actually said, and all these coaches, when you take coaches from my era, he said, when you're going to take coaches from that played with me, and I'll just throw out some of the names from that era, Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd. Now, this is just his opinion.
Right, right.
He said they're all going to be struggle because they're going to coach the game like we played it and like we coached. They're going to want to, you know, defense and, you know, mid-range shots,
no, totally
post
different.
Up,
I got
you know,
it.
Physical. And he said they're going to struggle. So it's tough to compare, but you're right. That's what we do. And so I'm going to say
– You got to remember, we got 3 hours to kill every night.
Right. But I'm going to say I would take the Shaq-Kobe Lakers. I say it with a little bit of trepidation, but I'm going to say I would take the Shaq-Kobe Lakers.
I don't disagree with you. I just – because for all the greatness that is the Warriors, who guards or defends Shaq? That's the answer you can't give me. And I know you watch Shaq on TNT now, and he's 400 pounds, And you probably go, was he really that good?
Right.
Dude, he was a dominating player for years in that league, and he was unstoppable. Am I right, Chris?
He was completely unstoppable. For those three finals, I believe he averaged 36 and 15 for the 3 years.
Right.
And here's the thing. The Warriors, now they start Damon Jones in the middle right now. He would get annihilated by Shaquille O'Neal. But they've been able to get away. Their death lineup, of course, is Draymond at the center, okay? And they've been able to get away with that even when they face seven-footers because there are no, and I say no, as good as Joel Embiid is, and he's legit, but there are no seven-footers that are going to punish you like there were back in the day. And so I know the analytics guys from nowadays will say, well, you're going to trade 2 for 3. Yeah, Shaq going to get his, but you're going to trade 2 for 3. We're going to hit threes and Shaq's going to get twos. Shaq will put 50 or 60 on you. That's the difference. Shaquille O'Neal would put 50 or 60 points on those Golden State Warriors. And that's what the Warriors would have to deal with. That's what I'm saying.
No, I agree with
There's
you.
Draymond Green guarding Shaq. Damon Jones guarding Shaq.
No.
JaVale McGee from last year. Andrew Bogut from years ago. Come on.
That's what I'm saying is like there's no answer for him. So you would be hard-pressed to stop Shaq, and that's the reason why I would give the Lakers the advantage as well. I'm with you.
I'll give a few more reasons. One, Kobe, you know, is going to get his. And I think because Shaq would be so dominant, you would be able to control the tempo of the game. It wouldn't be all this just high-flying, flinging it all over the place because you would control the tempo. Now, those Lakers, their athleticism was not up to par with the Warriors.
But also, what rules are we playing? Are we playing where you can't touch anybody defensively, or are we playing where I could touch you with one hand?
That's the thing.
Or bent elbow.
Even if we go back to
right
when the Cavaliers beat the Warriors in 2016 or 2015 when they gave them a pretty good series without Kyrie and Kevin Love, they got physical with the Warriors. Memphis played the Warriors fairly well in the past couple years because they would get physical with them. Those Lakers, Derek Fisher guarding Steph Curry, Rick Fox probably guarding Durant, Horace Grant guarding Draymond, they would get physical. Kobe, of course, guarding Klay Thompson. They would get physical, and when Steph's running off screens, they're bumping them. They're elbowing them, little here
and
there.
Which you used to be able to do.
Right, and you could slow – even now they would do that, and I think they would get away with it, and you could slow them down. So, look, I love these Warriors, and the fact is this. If these Warriors win, like, 4 straight, 5 out of 6 or whatever, I'm going to have to give them props that they're arguably the best team of all time.
Well,
for right now, I would take the Shaq Kobe
line. I agree with you. They won the 3. It was a different game. Shaq was the most dominant player in the entire league. It's hard to argue.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Now it's time to bring in the guest we've been telling you about all show long. It's none other than Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. You can follow him on Twitter at WMoon1. Warren, welcome to the Odd Couple. How you doing?
What's up?
I'm doing great, guys. Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Rob, you're as bitter as always. So I've listened a few times.
Hey, Warren, some things never change, you know.
No. Consistency is what keeps you going.
No doubt.
Well, I tell you, Warren.
You can tell he listens. I appreciate
that. Right. Thank you. And Warren, he was so overjoyed by your comments about Tom Brady. He was literally dancing in the studio.
I didn't say anything derogatory.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Because, I think anybody that's going to be honest is going to agree with you that, yes, there is deterioration in Tom Brady this year from last year. But my question to you is there too much deterioration for him to lead the New England to the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think that. I think he's still playing good enough to lead them to the Super Bowl, but he might need some more help more than usual. They can't just use his arm to carry him all the way there like he did last year in an MVP season. But I think this year with Sonny Michel and some of the running game that they have, I think that's going to give him a little bit more of a balance where he doesn't have to carry the football team each and every week.
Yeah, that's the big part. I look at it the same way. That the defense isn't that great. There's other issues. And Brady's just if you look at his numbers, everybody was ripping Aaron Rodgers. What a bad year he's having. Aaron Rodgers has more touchdowns and less interceptions than Brady, but everybody said Aaron Rodgers is having a terrible year.
Because they're 5-7-1.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about the quarterback numbers. You know what I mean, Warren?
Yeah.
There's a different standard for different guys.
There is a different standard, and I think a lot of people or comparing what he did last year when he won the MVP compared to where he is right now, and then how he's handling certain situations, you know, going against the blitz, things like that, where he's always had a lot of success, now starting not to have as much success against those situations. Some of that has to do with personnel, but some of it has to do with, I think, your body just sometimes doesn't react the way your mind wants it to because you are starting to get a little bit older, and it's just, and it's nothing that he can guard against. It's just something that happens with time.
Your last year, I mean, you played till you were 44. Your last great year, you were a Pro Bowler at 41. What age do you think, I mean, I think these guys, he says he wants to play till 45, but that just seems virtually impossible.
Well, I don't know if it's impossible. It just depends on the level that he continues to want to play at. If he sees his skills starting to diminish, does he still want to stay out there, or does he want to stay at a certain level before he actually leaves the game? Given everything that he's accomplished in the game, there's no reason for him to keep playing that long. But, you know, for me, it was different because I was still chasing something that I didn't have, where he's got five of them already and has been to eight. So I think the reason for staying in is a little bit different, but I just don't think he's going to play to 45 either. Like I said in that article, I felt like if he would have won the Super Bowl last year against Philadelphia, he might have retired last year, leaving with a Super Bowl title behind him, his 6-1, and he would have been way ahead of everybody else. But because of that, I think that's what brought him back, that he didn't win it, and he had that bitter taste in his mouth, and he wanted to come back and try it again.
You know what? I'm glad you brought up the number of chances at the Super Bowl and, of course, the number of wins. I'm always telling people I consider Joe Montana the greatest quarterback with the 4-0, 11 touchdowns, no picks in the Super Bowl, three MVPs, two game-winning touchdowns to win Super Bowls. People point to Brady because he's been to eight, but he's lost three times, twice to Eli Manning and once to a backup quarterback in Nick Foles. Would you rather be, if you had either one, 4-0 being perfect, or is 5-3 that much of a difference to you by going to more, even though you lost three?
Well, you know, Joe Montana was my GOAT up until a couple of years ago when Tom brought them back from, 25 points back in the Super Bowl and won that.
You mean
one.
When Atlanta choked Warren? I mean, that game?
Whatever happened, Tom brought them back and they won the game. And that kind of catapulted him, you know, over Joe to me because it was his fifth one, and the way he did it really was impressive because they did come back from 25 points. But, yeah, what Joe did is impressive, and nobody, I think, will ever do what he's done because nobody's even close to that right now. So you still have to put Joe up there at least 1A, if not 1B.
It's the iCouple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. We're joined by Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. Warren, Rob mentioned Aaron Rodgers earlier. For him, he's having a down year. What do you see when you watch him? Does he look as sharp as normal?
He did play better this past week.
Is it just maybe an off year, or do you think there's some decline even in Aaron Rodgers now?
No, I don't think there's any decline. You got to remember, I forgot exactly what he did to his knee, but I'm sure he stretched some ligaments or whatever early in the season.
First game, yeah.
And he played with that pretty much for the next 5 or 6 weeks before he got to his bye week and had a chance to maybe heal up, you know, all the way. And I still don't know if he's 100%. I know he's not wearing the brace anymore, but he still played relatively good throughout that period with a bad knee. So that was very, very impressive. But I think a lot of people were judging him on his season because of not playing as well as he normally did. But you got to remember why he wasn't playing that way, because he was playing basically on a leg and a half and still did a pretty good job without a running game at that time.
Warren, who do you like out of the young new quarterbacks in the league? Obviously, this is Patrick Mahomes' second year. Didn't really play that much his first year. He's lighting it up. What does he got, 43 touchdowns now? Or
45.
Yeah, because he's got two more tonight. What do you think of him, and who else do you like as far as the young guys?
God, he's obviously right up there. I knew he had great ability coming out of college. I watched him play a lot at Texas Tech. I just was wondering if he would make some of the same mistakes that he made in college, like throwing the ball up for grabs. And he's done a little bit of that in the NFL, but not as much, and has really been impressive in his first year. So he's a guy that I really look at. As you look around the league, some of these young guys who came in, Not as impressed with them so far. I think Baker Mayfield is starting to play better since they've made the coaching change. I think they're starting to not make him throw the ball as much. You look at his attempts, they're somewhere around 22 to 25 a game, so he's being more efficient, not having to put it all on his shoulders, and they're relying more on Nick Chubb in the running game and their defense to win football games, and there's a new confidence there in Cleveland. So those are two guys that just came into the league that are really good quarterbacks. So there's a lot of other ones around the league, but I think those two right now are two of the more impressive ones because one is in his second year and one is a rookie.
We have about 30 seconds left, Warren. We had another debate. If you had to pick between the two quarterbacks you would want your career to mirror, would it be Phillip Rivers, who's had really good, consistent years for a long time, or Eli Manning, who hasn't had really good regular seasons but won two Super Bowls, beat the Patriots twice, the 18-0 Patriots? Which one would you choose if you had a choice between Phillip Rivers being Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning?
Man, that's a tough comparison you gave me right there, because I love Phillip Rivers. I've loved him for a long time.
No, he's a great quarterback.
You know, and he's been so productive and just hasn't had the total team around him. He's been to an AFC championship game. And even in that game, I think he had a torn muscle.
Yes,
in his
he was
knee,
hurt.
A torn
yep.
ligament in his knee and still played in the game. And LaDainian Tomlinson missed that game as well. But, you know, Eli, you just can't – you play this game to win championships. And Eli has two Super Bowls. So I'd have to say that, because that's why you play the game of football. That's why you play a team sport, to win a championship, and he's got two of them.
Is he a Hall of Famer,
Warren? Oh, yes.
Eli?
I think because of the two championships, you'd have to say that. You know, if you looked at everything else, it would be
no
tough.
No way.
But if because of those championships, so much is weighed on that today. Everybody looks at how many Super Bowls do you have, especially with quarterbacks. That's how you're judged a lot, and he's got two, so you'd have to say he's a Hall of Famer.
All right. All right. Warren, thank you so much.
All right, guys, thanks for having me on, and good luck with the rest of the show. Happy holidays.
Thank you,
too,
Warren.
Merry
happy
Christmas.
Holidays to you as well.